Hello everyone and welcome to another one of these Ride the Tiger videos. Today I'm once again going to be talking about the structure of permanent lasting change. I want to get into the grammar of it, which is something that I haven't seen a lot of people do, that is really thinking hard about thoughts, feelings, actions, and then structures of permanent change, in a kind of building up a taxonomy of this. Now I've talked about how to strip away things that no longer serve you in the very first video about overcoming addictions. I've talked about how to build good habits for the future going forward in multiple different videos, including last time when I talked about journaling as well and the importance of keeping a journal. I've talked about the need for structured introspection. I use tarot for that and various other things in this series. I've talked about how to be productive and not to waste time and various other things. But what I want to talk about today is really getting into the nuts and bolts of what is the difference between doing an action that makes a positive change that lasts, okay, and taking ineffective action or simply never get going in the first place, okay? And that requires looking at a time where positive lasting change has been made and then backwards reverse engineering it to think about all of the different things that happen in the lead up to this. I'm going to be talking all about this for the remainder of this video. Before we get going, I'll remind you, pick up a course at the Academic Agency. Trivium is the bestseller there. Many hundreds of you have taken that already. I encourage many hundreds more of you to take it, as well as Foundations of Research, Shakespeare, Economics, and all of the other great courses. But for now, let's get back to the lecture at hand, which is, if you want to make a change that lasts, how do you even get to the point where you are acting and doing something about it? And then once you've done it, how do you make sure that it doesn't just revert? Okay. Now, I have a pretty good applied example of this that happened just recently. Last weekend, we were, you know, I was there with the missus and my daughter, and we were having this issue where we have been having this issue where our daughter, she's 6 years old, spending too much time watching TV or wanting to play computer games. Every parent in the current age is having this problem with screen time. How much screen time is too much screen time? How do we reduce screen time? How do we come back together as a family and do nice things where we can all be present together? Okay. And one of the things is that, well, yes, we can put restrictions. I've recently put like a passcode on to stop her watching like slop YouTube stuff, okay? So now she's just watching CBeebies and, you know, things like that. Another thing is that you can put time bounds on it, okay? Like, well, you can play on it for an hour, you can play on it for, you can watch the TV for half an hour and, you know, set an alarm. Still, those aren't actually fixing the problem. The problem is, the root of the problem is she would rather do the screen stuff than, for example, sit and do coloring in or do a painting or play with some of her toys, her real life toys. And so it was like, well, why isn't she playing with all of this stuff? She's got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of toys. Doesn't bother with any of them. Wants to play on the TV or go on the computer all the time. What's wrong with all the stuff we've got? And then, you see, and this is where the branching tree of like starting to get to the root of the issues. Then the issue was, well, can't find anything. It's actually a hassle. There's so much clutter in the place now. It's actually a hassle, a real ball ache to get out the art stuff or the colouring in stuff or everything. This just feels like too much of a thing. And again, anyone who's a parent knows if something's a little bit. Do I have the energy to? Do I want? Oh, yeah, you kind of give up and it's like, I stick the TV on again. So how are we going to get to a point where that didn't happen anymore? And then you see, you keep on going backwards and there's problems upon problems. Then it's like, well, why is there so much clutter around the place? And this had two basic roots. One of the roots is, and again, anyone who's had who is a parent at this time will know that you end up accumulating tons and tons and tons of junk. You know, there are all of these parties that every time you have your own party, people bring these presents. And then, you know, if you're a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old girl, for some reason, all of the parents think, well, what you really want is this wonderful arts and crafts set with, you know, literally hundreds and maybe even thousands of these little glittery things that go everywhere. Okay. I mean, tons of those. Or what you really want is another pop-up pirate set, or what you really want is this racetrack thing or this Marvel Madness thing. And before you know it, you are literally cannot move for boxes and boxes and boxes of toys and dolls houses and cuddly toys and, you know, sticker books and who knows what. Okay. So then I was like, well, look, what we really need to do is we need to have a massive sort out. We need to decide what we're going to keep and what we're not going to keep. And then so we sat down on the Saturday and we talked about it and then we started doing it. But as I knew would happen, because we were doing it together, the missus, she was like, well, she started seeing other things. Like she started, there was mission creep into other rooms. She was like, well, this new room needs sorting out. And before we knew it, I had moved into now sorting out all of the old medicine, all of the old medicine. You know, we had boxes and boxes and boxes of old bottles of medicine and plasters and, you know, old half used packs of Nurofen and things like that. And they were all over the place. The missus, she always starts with a good intention. She's got lots of these pots and baskets and trays and, you know, kind of organizational boxes. And it starts off with the idea, well, we'll get organized. I'll have this pot here. But before you know it, it becomes what I call a clutter station. Okay, a clutter station. Now, it's not actually the fault of the missus or anyone else that this happens. Look, I'll show you. I've got one here. Hold on. So look at this, okay? Now, this was bought because, this thing here was bought because I have a habit of coming in and I just want to drop my keys on the table like that. So I was got this little thing, put your wallet and your keys in. But naturally, over time, look, it started accumulating other stuff. There are coins in there. There's this thing from a Nintendo DS. There's this thing, whatever it is. There's whatever has just fallen on the floor. So, you know, there's this random toy plastic knife. All of those things have accumulated in there over time because, and this old brick Nokia phone, you know, they're all just stuck in there. Okay. The thing that's fallen on the floor is the lid of some old, you know, spray or something. Okay. So everybody has this problem where you try to set up this little system, but now it's become a kind of a clutter accumulation unit. So anyway, sitting there on the Saturday, I was like, this, you know, I noticed that we have bought the same medicines over and over and over again. Look, you bought vitamin D there. That was unopened. Now we bought it again over here. Or, you know, look, we bought paracetamol like 6 different times here. And the reason that we did it is because we couldn't find the paracetamol last time because it was, you know, stuck at the bottom of this truck, you know, under all this other crap. So what I did is I basically I threw out tons and tons and tons and tons of old, gone off, best before sell by date medicines, you know, big pharma having a field day. But I threw it all out in a big plastic bag, and we put, I then was like, right, all of the stuff to do with headaches is in this bit. All of the stuff to do with cough, you know, colds is in this bit. All of the stuff to do with aches, pains, burns in this bit. And I got a label, and I put those labels on each of those things. Okay, and then we put it up with most of the old medicines that we had thrown out in the bin and the remnant put up in these neat things so that coming in, you know, at a glance, oh, headache stuff is there, you know, cough stuff is there, And as long as that system is maintained, that is a problem that we had now sorted out. Now, because we are dealing with literally hundreds and hundreds of toys, I knew that if I tried to sort out that issue with the missus and the little one there, there'd be chaos. There'd be, oh, you know, I want to keep this, I want to keep that. So I waited until they went to a birthday party. And I thought, right, I'm going to take that thing that we've learned. What is the principle that we've learned from the medicine experience? If it doesn't have a label, it's a clutter creation unit, right? Anything that doesn't have a label becomes clutter. I need to stick a label in there saying keys only, right? Otherwise, any old rubbish goes on there. So I was like, right, we've got these shells with nine different things on them. And these nine different things are going to have nine different categories. Art in one, pens and pencils in another one, board games in another one, Play-Doh in another one. Music stuff in another one. And we're going to fit her favorite. The ones I see her use or have used are going to go in there. Everything else is going to go out. So I waited until they were at this party. And I got five massive rubbish bags and with this big hold all. I went down the charity store, down the tip. I must have had about 20, 30 trips up and down the stairs. I was dripping with sweat. And I then got labels and I neatly put them all. The problem was sorted out. The problem was sorted. Now we turn hundreds and hundreds of things into just nine categories where you could quickly and easily, if we want to do some painting, I can grab it there. If we want to do, you know, coloring in, there it is. If we want to play with Play-Doh, there it is. And then when they came back from the party, at a certain point, I was like, oh, I'm going to do some painting. And some of you will have seen the painting I put up. And obviously, the little one in tree came and sat next to me. And she did a painting and I did a painting. And we took an hour quietly doing some painting together, which showed you that we had got to the destination. She wasn't watching TV. We were doing a one-on-one activity together. We were both present. There were no other distractions. There were no screens. Okay, but to get to that end destination, which is where we started, it took all of those other things. Okay, now what I want to talk about, this is just a small, right, fairly mundane or trivial example. But what I want to get to is all of the things that need to happen to create the real change. Now, one of the things that has to happen, first of all, is on the intellectual level. Okay? I mean, really, this started even before the intellectual with an emotion, with a desire, with a feeling. What was the feeling that we were having? We wanted our daughter to have more quality time with us, to spend less time on the screens for her own well-being, right? So that was coming from a good, heart-centered place as caring parents. That was where it was coming from, okay? But then in order to create action, you cannot just only have the desire or the passion or the feeling, okay? To actually make this tangible, a plan was required. First of all, an intellectual idea of what had gone wrong. And it was only when we started, you know, trying to sort out the problem of the clutter that I truly came to see where things had gone wrong. There were two problems. One, there was simply too much stuff. And two, this issue with the labels. If there's a label there, we know what's what. If there's no label there, it all becomes a higgledy-piggledy mess. You know what happens, somebody's coming around, you know, you want to clean up quickly. All right, open a cupboard, here will do. Oh, just stick it in there, nobody will know. And then once they've gone, you're left with a disorganized mess. So how do we get to a situation where that's not happening? So it started with this idea. We wanted to create good one-on-one time. Then we were stuck with the problem. We can't get to all that stuff because it's buried under a pile of junk. So now we've got an intellectual understanding of the basic problem. But how do you move from that intellectual understanding to actually getting it done? Now, sitting there talking on the Saturday, the problem felt completely insurmountable. The missus said at various times, look, it's like a mountain. It's going to take us months to shift all this. It's basically like we're going to have to chip away at it a little bit at a time. In the back of my mind, I was thinking, yeah, but where there's a will, there's a way. What if it didn't? What if it wasn't a mountain? What if I could get there quickly when it came to this? That's what I was thinking. So the intellectual idea was starting to develop in me what you might call a burst of impetus to action, swelling up of, I guess, those fiery willpower, action, something, solution. I want to move quickly. If you want to be in Tarot turn, it's the Eight of Wands. All those wands. I'm going to get there. And so when they were out, I was pretty ruthless. I was like, look, anything that I've never seen her, anything that's unopened, out. Anything that she hasn't played with in more than a year, out. Anything that I think isn't serving her at all, out. And I'm not kidding you, I had 5 massive sacks of stuff. And I thought, well, they're not here. Let's see when she comes back. Will she even notice these things are missing? Because if you don't notice they're gone, couldn't have cared about them in the first place. Okay, and there was lots and lots of stuff. I took to charity and I took to puzzle games, bought like all sorts of rubbish. And part of that is I had to be quite severe. I had to be quite pitiless in a way and unsentimental. This is now pure action. I am sorting out the problem. And I'm going to have to make this decision on behalf of everyone. This is going out. This is going out. This is going out. This is going out. You know, and to a certain extent, there was a slight risk. Oh, well, what if she really wants this? Well, it's going to be a tough nuts. You didn't play with her at the time. But the fact is that burst of impetus alone, right, that burst of impetus alone was not actually going to create the lasting change that we're talking about. And this is where many people can come a cropper. If I became too enamored with the burst of impetus, if I became too in love with what I'd done in an egotistical way, or if I'd become too aggressive about it, or if I'd made a song and dance about doing that part of it, I knew that things had a huge chance to go wrong in that moment. That what could have been a success story could turn to failure just because of how what I have done has been presented. So I knew that in order for this to work, they had to come in when I wasn't there with everything already sorted out, with all the labels already done. So the solution was already presented so they could see the finished product. It was important that they did not come into contact with me while I was in that mode. In that mode, I was acting as the executioner, as the judge, as the emperor, as the sword of action, as the flame that purifies. I was doing all of those things. I was embodying a very masculine energy, you could say. But one, right, they needed it. I know they needed it. She needed it. But I knew that if they had been present, they would have wrecked it. They would have been in the way. We would have argued. So I knew that had to be done when they weren't there. So what's the permanent structure? What's the actual top of the tree, the maintenance? Well, the labels were very important. Also, them coming into the completely transformed situation was actually very important, I think. So they could see what things could be like. And now I'm going forward, have to be quite vigilant in policing those 9 labels. If it's not Play-Doh, it's not in the Play-Doh bit. Okay, what's that paint thing doing up in the puzzle bit or whatever? And I'm going to have to be pretty strict about it until those structures are maintained by the whole family for the benefit of everybody, so that what's the result? Less screen time, more one-on-one time with parents and child, more quality time, more presence, less, you know, less of this, which is ultimately what everybody wanted and ultimately what any, you know, young, any child needs from their parents is more presence. So what was the purpose of going through that whole worked example? Okay, that was a relatively small thing. It took a lot of effort and energy on my part, but in the overall scheme of things, this is quite a mundane example. This basic idea that I'm talking about is actually at the root of pretty much any action that you can take in your life, regardless of what it is. And really, the trajectory has to work the same way. Okay. What is the difference between success and failure? And where are the parts where this can go wrong? Well, there are actually four movements if you think about it. Okay. The first movement is just feeling the desire for something to change. This thing's not working. We're unhappy with this situation of, you know, in this case, AAA watching too much TV. Okay. But that's just a feeling. We have to move from the feeling to the intellectual part, which requires a number of things. Systems analysis, a look at, well, what is actually going wrong here? What is preventing the thing that we want? And ultimately, in this case, it was down to the clutter. And then when I looked at the clutter, it was down to the basic issue of labeling and organization, and also an issue of having too much stuff. That was the analysis part. Okay, then I understood it intellectually, but I knew that if I acted on that there on the Saturday, it could have led to a bad situation. It could have led to some sort of argument. It could have led to, you know, more chaos and dysregulation. It could have led to all sorts of negative outcomes. So what I did is I thought, well, look, let's just work on some other thing here. It just panned out this way. We're going to do this medicine box so we feel like we've done something. And I was able to then to sit on it, because I knew when I had this party tomorrow, I was just alone going to sort this out on behalf of everybody else. And I knew that if I was able to have a run at it unimpeded, it would get done. There would be no debates. There would be no nothing. It would get done. And I also knew that if I presented them both with the finished article, here's what you could have won type thing, it would be much more easily accepted by both of them, and they'd see it in a good light as opposed to seeing it in the negative lights, because that was really important for the success of this to happen. So the next bit that could have gone wrong is the translation from idea to action. Okay, it's the first bit that can go wrong is the translation from feeling to idea. Then the next bit that can go wrong is the translation from idea to action. Now, the action, what I'm calling a burst of impetus, this also has a scope to go wrong. How many times have you, I don't know, pigged out over Christmas, and then come New Year's Eve, you make a bunch of New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other. And you join the gym and you hit the first week running. You're full of energy. You can't wait for it, you know. And by February, back to eating chocolate. But, you know, it hasn't lasted. Back to your old self. How many times have you done that? Everybody's done it hundreds of times. So you know that there's a point of failure then from this initial burst of impetus, the action, to the permanent lasting structure of change, which requires discipline and maintenance. Now, not to get all woo on you, folks, right? But we live in an age where people like to embody a lot of what I call Jupiterian energy. Jupiterian energy is expansive. It's outwards. It accumulates. It wants more all the time, more growth, growth. We also live in an age that is somewhat allergic to what I might call Saturnian energy, the energy of the basic energy of Saturn, which is all about stripping away constriction, discipline, structure. But sometimes the solution to the problem is not expanse. It is actually, as I've done here, stripping away those things that no longer serve. And a lot of the things I've been talking about in this series so far actually have been more Saturn than Jupiter, if you want to put it that way. Okay, I've been emphasizing cut away those things that no longer serve you and then maintain the discipline. You'd be surprised how much you can do if you know how to maintain a discipline. Now, in this very small case, what is the discipline? It is simply enforcing that those nine labels stay true. And that while a label is there, we know that we don't violate the label to prevent the label system becoming another clutter station. And that's going to require an ongoing making sure. Now, I know that I can do this. How do I know? Because I've had a couple of test drives here at the lodge. Over there in my back room, I've got even more books. I've got a whole other library in there, which we need not get into. But recently I decided that I was going to organize that library into 8 separate sections and put labels on each one of them to completely reorganize those shelves. So you could say the germ of the idea that ended up with AAA's toys and games and so on being neatly organized and cutting away all the other stuff had already been there in embryo. I did it first here in the lodge with my back room storage there. I got rid of all the things I didn't want. I created a dedicated section with 8 different things, put labels on them, you know, made sure it was well maintained. I know I can do it because why? If you've played 500 hours of RimWorld and you care about, which things go into which barrels, if you play Dwarf Fortress, things like that. Like, if you can do it in that game, you can do it in real life. You'd be surprised how organized you can be in one area, but not in another. So what I'm talking about here, though, is that keeping of the discipline is ultimately going to be the thing that makes or breaks the ongoing forward success of it. And so often it's the setting up of an automatic structure. Now, how could you say that this structure is automatic? Well, the label's doing so much of the work already. It's all, where do I put the, this is a paint thing, so it goes in art. Or it's a pencil, it goes in the pens and pencils. So simple as a solution, staring you there in the face, but obviously in many households everywhere it goes wrong. Okay, I'm not going to pretend that I invented the concept of labels, obviously not. I'm just saying that for us this has made a huge difference, you know, in this past week. And also, you know, for my secret back room there, it massively increased my organization. And now I can think, well, okay, I need that thing, it's there, oh, it's on that bit there, and so on and so forth. Maybe I'll actually these shelves are actually in a kind of, in my mind, these have got labels, you know, history stuff is there, Carlisle is there, you know, generally speaking here, you know, socialist stuff is here, stuff to do with Britain's up there. So there is a kind of logic to it in my mind, but it could be even better structured, you know, if you want to think of it in these terms. So yeah, that's really what I'm getting at here is, you've got to look at the points of possible failure. And also, if things have been going wrong, why have they been going wrong as well? So, you know, I've had to institute some new rules. if there is like one of these parties, we're going to have to be ruthless. If there's another one of these, like, you know, Barbie sets with 100 different pieces and so on, straight to charity, straight in the bin, re-gift it, get rid of it. We're gonna have to have one of these like Zen-like households where there's very little clutter around, and to maintain it, and to say that's a priority, that's the most important thing. And if the cost of that is, you know, being a little bit anal about some labels on a shelf, so be it. Everybody will be happier for it. And that is really the moral of this one today, folks. It's not a lot of the time you think, well, I mean, look, if you have a look at this, doing the thing, actually doing the work, I was covered in sweat up and down the stairs, you know, just be like, well, I've done this is my heroic action and I've done it. But actually, that was only the start. I hadn't done anything yet. That was the start. It was only the initial impetus. And this is where your tarot can actually be quite useful, right? This is the ace of pentacles, the ace of cups, the cardinal point. The cardinal point of the thing. It's a start. But it's not the end. It's not the finished thing. It's not the end product. The end product is a flowing system that works in a working household where people are, you know, I'm back and forth to work, she's back and forth to school, the missus is, you know, off doing her stuff. It has to work for everybody, you know, in a lived environment. That's the success or failure rate of this particular solution. And so it will be with any of those things that you try to do. What I've tried to impress throughout these videos is that the less you have to rely on willpower, the better. The less you have to rely on willpower, the better. Okay? That burst of impetus I had energy, I had drive. I was like, I'm going to do this, right? I was raring. But how many Sundays am I going to have that energy? Can I count on that? Am I like that every day? No. Are you like that every day? No. So you can't count on always having that ace. Like, I was the ace in that minute, but you can't count on that. So you have to then make sure that whatever comes after the ace is a structure that maintains, that means that you don't have to do that again. So I've used a little example, but there are much, much bigger ones. Like, this is a matter of fairly minor import. Actually, I think it's probably more important than I'm making out, because, you know, spending time, quality time with your kids is priceless, okay? But you understand what I'm saying. The consequences could be so much bigger, so much bigger, so much bigger. And sometimes the solutions, you know, sometimes the problems are really quite small, but the consequences are really quite large. All right. I hopefully this was useful to you. In these videos, you know, there's kind of like an overall system I'm circling towards in these videos, that I'm kind of revealing bits here and there. But hopefully this bit will make sense to those people who've actually tried to do anything. Just try to do anything in this world and tell me that this process I've taken you through, the feeling, the desire, the intellectual idea, the initial burst of impetus, the action, and then the permanent structure where it's almost automatic, analyzing the possible failure rates, and seeing which examples of those things that you've done have been a lasting success in your life, because you will know what works for you as well. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. Pick up a course and I'll see you all next time. If you're enjoying these Ride the Tiger videos, let me know, because, you know, they're not going to do as big views as the latest new stuff, But if people continue to enjoy them, people like the journaling one, even people like the tarot one, I will continue to make them as long as you want them. All right. Goodbye, all.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.